Good morning. Happy Reformation Day. Reformation Day. Well, the Reformers were guys who, it's basically the, it kind of started with Martin Luther coming and posting his things on the Wittenberg door. Just live by faith. But then we celebrate the rest of the guys who helped translate the Bible and get us all to have a Bible. Could you imagine being back before you could read the Bible or had a Bible, following God? It would have been a lot different. We're pretty blessed and privileged. The things that people went through, so me and you can sit there and have five Bibles at our house that we don't read. Anyhow, let's go ahead and start in prayer. Father God, again, we just thank you for the honor and privilege to just come before you and welcome you into our presence and midst, and just to hear from you, receive from you. Speak to us, Lord, this morning, and may we receive what you speak to us this morning. Take it wholeheartedly and live and move in that, in whatever you speak to us this morning, Lord God. Mm-hmm. Again, we just thank you for your goodness, your wonderful, amazing goodness and creation. And we thank you for salvation. You're so good, God. We thank you for your word. As usual, amen. As usual, my theme this morning, simple, is Jesus is the Word.
What a wonderful name it is. what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, veil tore before you, silence of assumption and death. The heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no
full of wonder and power. Praise you, Lord.
The light of the world.
Beautiful. Beauty.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am.
So here I am. Altogether wonderful to me. You're lovely, Lord. You're so worthy. There's none like you, God. None like you, Jesus.
Praise you.
So blessed, we're so blessed. Holy words, long preserved for our resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us to grow in this world where'er we roam. Ancient words will guide us. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart holy words of our faith. It down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Ancient words ever true, changing me. Martyr's blood stains each page. They have died for this faith. Hear them cry through the years. Heed these words and hold them dear. Ancient words ever. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Feel afraid, and I think I've lost my way. Still, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me till the end. Forget your love for me again, my heart forever wandering. Jesus, be my guide, hold me to your side, I will love you till the my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in. Sing again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Yeah.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
Let's sing that again.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
Daily bread.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
Lift our hands.
desperate for you. I need more of you. Oh, I need you.
Ask that you be seated for a moment. The Lord has answering our prayer. We're saying we're desperate, we're lost, we need you. And your presence, Lord, is our daily bread. And his presence is here this morning. And I am reminded of the part of the Lord's prayer which says, give us. How's that go?
This day
our daily bread. And that's not weekly bread. It's not yearly bread. Just a couple of verses that just hammered in my heart as we're worshiping this morning. And I want to share those verses. And then I wanted to lead us in prayer. We sang this verse. I think it was the King James Version. Let me read the Passion Translation. Thy word, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my... Truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of you, your word, makes my pathway clear.
Awesome. Thank
you.
Amen.
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 You ever look at a map? Oh, yeah. Okay, here we are. Wait a second. Where am I? Okay, it's just a constant. In unfamiliar territory. Thy word, your word, O Lord, is truth's shining light guiding me. And my choices and decisions, the revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. Let me read out of 2 Timothy. Yeah. Okay, listen to this. God has transmitted his very substance into every scripture. For it is God-breathed. It will empower you by its instruction and correction. Wrong way. Dead end. One way.
Return to the root.
Recalculating, it will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper in the path of godliness. That's a hard path to navigate these days. Yes? The path of godliness. Which path are you taking? Which path are you choosing? Which path is full of not just ups and downs, but some bumping and jostling that's trying to knock you off the path, then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. Thy word, your word, O Lord. May we hear the word of the Lord this morning and embrace his word and feed on his word. Spend more time allowing his word. You know, we say, give us this our daily bread, and yes, that can certainly includes our sustenance for whether it's food, clothing, or you know, just our daily needs, but primarily it's our daily dose of what we need to feed our spirits and keep us headed, keep us our head up, first of all, so we can head in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, feed us by your word. Lord, but may we come to the table of your word and sit with you, sup with you, and allow you to feed us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to remind us, to rebuke us, to correct us, but to pick us up, Lord, and to carry us. We love your word. We love you. We're desperate for your presence, Lord. We're desperate for your presence. So we declare you are our God. You are our God. We love you. Lord, we pray for Wayne and Sherry, both.
Yeah.
Wayne, who is not hospitalized, but is struggling with COVID. And Lord, he just has some inherent breathing issues and such. Lord, we pray that you would continue to keep him without a fever. Lord, take away the cough, take away the congestion. Lord, protect, keep your hand on Sherry.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Keep her safe and keep her, Lord, help her to be the nurse that he needs. And just giving her insight, Lord. Who else am I praying for?
Well, I lift up Eli's sister-in-law, Samantha, who just came down from Canada to celebrate my daughter-in-law's birthday with her. Tested negative to come into the States and just tested positive Thursday to go home. So we just pray for Samantha,
yes.
Lord God. She's quarantined in a room for 9 days, so far has no symptoms as of last night. We just pray for her health. We pray for her strength. She's young. She's healthy.
Yes.
And we also pray for Eli and Sarah and others that were exposed potentially through her visit, that they will stay healthy and strong.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We agree.
And for Sherry's brother, Scott, is in the hospital.
That's who I was looking for, or one of which. So we do, Lord. We agree with that prayer, Johnny's prayer, Lord, for Scott. Be with him, hold him, raise him up, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. And again, just your comfort for Sherry, her husband on the one hand and her brother on the other. Only you can carry. Only you can comfort. That name of Jesus, it's a powerful name. It's a powerful name. We speak Jesus over Sherry, Wayne, and Scott. We speak Jesus over
Samantha.
And Eli and Sarah. Lord, I speak Jesus over each one this morning. The name of Jesus. Over Pat. She's doing better.
Thank you.
Lord willing. Lord, continue to carry Tim's mother, Pat.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And for Juliana, my slow this morning, but for Juliana, dealing with a migraine this morning. And Lord, just pray your hand on the minor family In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Another scripture God breathed as we were praying.
There
we go.
God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of joy and peace and a sound mind.
Amen.
Pretty close anyway.
No, that's right. Power, love, and a sound mind.
Proverbs 35. Why does it do that? Just run away from your lifetime. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who trust in Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Good, good, good. Ushers. We have ushers, yes. Ushers in the house.
Dave, can I lift up a prayer and have you agree with me for Bruce's daughter, Brandy, who's diagnosed with breast cancer. So she's going through biopsies and all that right now. So Father, we want to lift up Brandy to you and just ask that you would continue to pour your love out on her, because we know that you are and have been all her life. And we just ask, you know, that you would, Lord, we ask that you would heal her. You know, we believe that you can, and believe that, you know, according to your will, you will. And so we lift her up to you, Lord God, and pray for a good report.
Yes.
You know, Lord, you can make it disappear, and we can trust you for that.
Yes.
And
yes.
And even if you don't, Lord God, you can pour your love out on her and cause, make it for your good and your glory, and you can bring her into your fold, Lord God, and love on her and hold her and help her, Lord, and her family.
Yes.
Through all this.
Yes.
We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank
you, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's continue to worship and speak the name of Jesus over every one of our needs, finances included. And may the Lord remind us that as He gives, we are enabled to be generous as well. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your middle name? Good to see every one of you, some of you more than others. Not that I'm glad to see more. Let's just back up the bus here.
Yeah, really.
Let me switch gears here. Hey, have any of you seen the new Robert S. Holton commentary that's been out? Wait, is it out yet? I'm maybe ahead of myself. I say that because this guy eats commentaries for breakfast. He just is a true student of the Word, and just has such a love and passion for the Word. And this morning, I unashamedly, aren't you glad I'm not preaching today? I, without shame, asked Bob to do double duty this morning. He not only led us to the throne, but he's leading us to the throne, preaching the word. So, Bob, come and give us some daily bread.
All right. Well, as usual, Dave already preached my whole sermon there. He didn't use all the scriptures I'm using, but he used kind of hinted on some of them. Is this thing on? Okay. All right, great. I think I'll use two mics here. Yeah. It's the whole room. So yeah, we're going to talk about the word this morning. In case you couldn't tell by the songs, and Dave and I didn't really speak that much about what I was teaching on this morning, and he kind of, like I said, he hit the nail on the head. I'm always a little nervous before I come up here. I don't know why. Aren't you guys a little nervous before I come up here? No. Dave's probably a little nervous sometimes. I'm not going to teach anything new this morning. We all, just what Dave just said about the word. I mean, and we all agreed, and we already all know this. But sometimes we just need repetition and reminder. And as far as a great exhortation person or a great verbal grammar usage person, that's not me. I'm not a great teacher of any kind, but wise teachers are ones who are in love with their subject. So that's one thing I got. I'm in love with my subject. But as far as a teacher and a public speaker, doing all the rules of public speaking. And I never forget one time when I was early on, first couple times I spoke, I just kind of stared out in the crowd and I wasn't really looking at anybody. I'm just staring out in the crowd. I'm seeing nothing. But I was talking about sin and I was looking at this one person. And she goes, "Why are you looking at me?" I'm like, "Oh, guess I got to be careful about how I speak and teach and what I say and think." Anyhow, Plato said the idea of good teaching was extracting from the students' minds what they already knew. And so I have a responsibility as a teacher up here right now to do things correctly and keep you focused on what I'm teaching. But you guys have a responsibility too, to be wise listeners. Ones who hear what is being spoken and doesn't go away and forget. And Dave already really hit the nail on the head this morning here a couple times, and you'll see as we get along here, to go away and think over what's been said and been taught, process it, digest it. And that's your guys' responsibility. And since I'm not that great or fantastic of a teacher, then that makes your responsibility double. So anyhow, here we go. So words have power. We're talking about the Word of God this morning, in case you haven't caught that theme yet. And the Word of God is light. We all know, you know, words have power. You know, not just our words. Our spoken words have power. You know, the Bible talks about, our words can be a blessing or a curse. And the Bible also talks about, I think it's in James, that our tongue is like the rudder, small little rudder on a big old ship. It has lots of power, our tongue. Our words. We can bless and curse others. We can bless and curse ourselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, why'd you do that, you stupid idiot? Words can kill. I mean, kill the spirit, but literally kill. God's word has more power than our plain old words, because Jesus is the Word. Now, we were talking earlier up on the platform here before we were practicing, and Joe was actually, what did you bring up, Joe? What were you talking about up there about how God was Could you reiterate what you were talking to? You're forgetting now.
I was reading this book about prayer and praying the word, and they just start on the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, and just meditate on that, and that just touched my heart, you know, that Our Father is with us all the time, you know, all the time, not just, you know, when we're in church or reading the word, but even when we go to work or school, he's there and he loves us. You know, he's not some overbearing, you know, figure. He's our loving Father.
Our Daddy
is with us all the time, and he never leaves us forsake us. And I just thought it was nice.
But it's something how the more you dig into the word, the more you do devotions and things, something that you already know, like I said, we already know a lot of this stuff, just becomes more, just bigger,
yes,
and more real.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And so this, yeah, this week while I was studying the word, Jesus is the word. We all know that. We sing it and do it. But that just became bigger to me this week. Jesus is the word. It just shot down many different avenues. And being light. I mean, there's so many scriptures that refer to things as light. God is light. The word is light. And so what does this light mean? God's word is a light. It enlightens us. It guides us. It gives illumination. It brings revelation. It leads and teaches. It increases our understanding, giving us wisdom and knowledge. It instructs and corrects us. It gives confirmation. It's all-encompassing, unchanging, secure. It's just and true. It has all authority and power. Wow. Let's go ahead and pray for a minute here. Father God, again, your word has power. As we go through these scriptures this morning and I give my little commentaries, Lord, I just pray that you breathe in it and through it, and you bless us and touch us, convict us. And Lord, that we just don't hear these words and wander off and forget about them. But we digest them, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in Bible times, Jewish folk believed words were more than just sounds. All words. They weren't just sounds. They had power. They were sent out with power and authority. And once they were sent out, they kind of had this thing that really the words are out there. You can't take them back. And so that's just keep that in mind, and we'll touch on that again later. An example is remember when Isaac was getting Jacob and Esau their blessing, and Rebekah talked Jacob into tricking her and all that kind of stuff. And then so he blessed the wrong person, and then Esau came in and said, "Dad, you know, why'd you give my blessing to him?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, it was too late." You know, me, when I'm reading that, I'm going, "Well, just take it back and give it to him." Well, they couldn't do that. It's out there already. Their words had power, and they did what they did when they said them. So anyway, God's word is both rhema and logos, or logos, however you want to pronounce that. I've heard different guys pronounce it different. They're rhema and logos, wisdom and reason and creative power. Through his word, we objectively and subjectively know about God. We know about him, and we can know him personally. And for years, I just knew about him. I didn't know him that personally because I didn't get that close to him. And we all know we are prone to wander, so we need rootedness. That's a Jack Hayford word I stole, rootedness. We need to be rooted in the word. That's it helps keep, if we're in the word, That's rootness. Root, root. No. And so, the more we read God's word by storing it up and musing over it, digesting it, the more God speaks instant personal words to us. You know, I've had a lot of people recently ask me, well, I kind of have a hard time hearing from God, or how do you hear from God, or, you know, all this kind of thing. Well, first step is get into the word daily, as Dave was saying, daily, not weekly. And the closer you get to him, the more, because like I say, it's Rhema and Logos when you're reading the word. There's power there. The power of God is there giving you revelation and telling you things, and you are hearing from God. So, you know, sometimes when you're reading the word and there's a passage there that, wow, I never seen that before. You know, kind of jumps off the page. Weep, weep, weep. Weep, weep, weep. I call that the Holy Spirit highlighter. I never saw that before. You know, and it jumps off the page. Well, God's speaking to you. And so, you know, God's speaking all the time, and we're hearing him lots of times, but we don't know we're hearing him or whatever the deal is because we're not paying attention. Many of you remember Mike Shope. Well, not many of you, some of you. Just a few of us, I guess. Me and him had this thing all the time when we were doing Bible studies or talking about the Bible or doing anything. We'd always look at each other at the same time. We knew what we were going to say. We'd go, we need to pay attention. Some of us have a hard time doing that. We maybe a little ADHD kind of thing. But anyhow, so when we get close to God, seek and draw near to him in his word, and of course in prayer and in praise and fellowship, we are able to hear him more clearly as we search and seek his will and ways and partner with God to co-create with him. And the first time I heard that saying co-create, I thought, what? What? Yeah, that's what intercessory prayer is. We're aligning ourselves with God, getting close to him, and interceding, and we're creating with him. You know, I don't believe that we ourselves do the creating, but as we align with God and partner with him, he works through us. So if he's working through us, we're co-creating together. That's just a cool thing that I came across, the idea that just another mind thing. Communion and impartation takes place. If we never see God or get close to him, nothing's going to be imparted either way from us or from him or whatever. So in Psalms 119, we're not going to go through the whole Psalms of 119 because it's pretty long. But I'm going to give a brief overview and kind of give an idea of where we're going to read Psalms 1 instead. But in Psalms 119, which is one of the, I think, longest, I don't know for sure, but I think one of the longest exhortations on the word, God's testimonies, precepts, and statutes in the Bible, I think. And I never made the statistics, but anyhow. Blessed are those who seek and keep his statutes. That all by itself is basically a nutshell. We're blessed.
Amen.
When we seek and keep his statutes. And the problem with us, and which really the thing that plagued the Pharisees and then the religious legalists in the Middle Ages and all that, was we're noun people and we ignore the verbs and adverbs. We skim right over them. And what ends up happening is we become, you know,
we see the forest but miss the trees, you know, we become experts at missing the point and all that kind of stuff. We often tend to skim over those words, the verbs, and that's where all the action takes place, where the things happen. And that's, it's interesting because in the original Aramaic and Hebrew, and I'm not sure about the Greek, but they didn't use a lot of those words we use, like the and all these kind of words. So to translate it into our language, they had to add these little teeny words. But I believe the active words, the verbs, they're there. And we best pay them attention. So I went through and counted, and I had to, it was hard to count because some words are alike, and, but I counted the main words in Psalms 119, the reoccurring active words, and there's three that really reoccurred a lot, and it was delight, meditate, and heart. Wait, heart isn't an active word. Well, it is. Because this is with the whole heart. They said whole heart a bunch of times. I know heart is a noun, but here it is whole heart. With everything I have, I can do no other. With a committed, burning, active passion of heart, I'm inclined to my heart in uprightness of heart, my heart in awe with my entire heart, my whole heart. Anyhow, that's used 11 times in Psalms 119. And delight. Are you guys delighting in the word? Delighting in God? Delight? Delight? It's 13 times it's used in there. Along with other words like incline my ear, diligently seek, cling, desire. And then the other one, the one I want to zero in on is meditate. And we'll talk about that more as we read this scripture in Psalms 1. Dan, you can go ahead and put it up there. I want to focus in on meditate or contemplate, digest, ponder. And so, let's see. That's New King James, right? Got to remember where I'm at, what I'm doing here. I'll go ahead and read this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Then what happens? He shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf always shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's not that long of a section of scripture, but there's a lot of stuff there. Yeah. We got the prosperity doctrine. We got the, let's see, what else do we have there? You guys can yell some out if you see something there. We're blessed. God blesses us. We got what I like to call positional. Yeah. That was an idea that really slapped me in the face. We are positionally somewhere. You know, we're somewhere. Are we sitting? Or you know, with the are we listening to the counsel of the ungodly? And we, you know, when we think ungodly, we think, oh, those nasty, wretched people. But ungodly is just secular humanists, people who don't believe in God. They've got a whole nother mindset and a whole nother thinking, way of thinking. So we sit under their counsel, positionally. Or we stand in the path of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, that's a great pastime these days in America. Scorning.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Anyhow, I want to focus in on this word meditate. And this is in my Spirit-Filled Life Bible. I really enjoy it because Jack Hayford helped edit it, so it's four square, so you gotta like it. No, just kidding. Meditates, haga. That Strong says to reflect, to moan, to mutter, to ponder, to make a quiet sound such as sighing, to meditate or contemplate something as one repeats the words. Haga represents something quite unlike the English meditation, which may be a mental exercise only, or a transcendental meditation. This is my added to the notes. This isn't in the notes. Transcendental meditation, which basically opens you up to deceiving spirits. In Hebrew thought, to meditate upon the scriptures is to quietly repeat them in a soft droning sound. So we've been doing some scripture memorization. This is a cool way to do it. And the reason you, well, we'll get there. A droning sound while utterly abandoning outside distractions. From this tradition comes a specialized type of Jewish prayer called davening. That is reciting the text, praying intense prayers, or getting lost in communion with God while bowing and rocking back and forth. This dynamic form of meditation prayer goes back to the time of David. So you know when you're reading the scriptures or praying or doing things and all of a sudden your mind goes, whoop, you know, and you're thinking about these other things. Dave was talking about this, what was that, Thursday. Yeah, you're reading the scripture and your mind's over here. Well, this is the kind of thing. So if you're already reading the word and you're already memorizing the word and you want to step it up, try this davening thing because that is just focusing your mind. And I guarantee that as you do that with your scripture, I mean, you don't have to mutter it and rock, but it helps to focus yourself. Your mind's not going anywhere. It's, and God will give you revelation, I guarantee it.
Amen.
Okay. So where are we going from here? Oh, I remember where we're going. So I'm going to use a Jack Hayford quote here. And it's a mouthful, okay? So here's what I want you guys to do. Stand up for a minute. Get your blood circulating so that blood goes up to the brain. Go ahead and lift your hands up. Go like this. Stretch. I need to do that anyhow. Oh, my back. All right, now sit down. If you want. You can stand if you want, too. I'm going to read this Jack Hayford scripture, and it's a mouthful. And so try and keep your mind focused. It's hard to keep up with him sometimes. And here it is. As spiritual peeper, I guess you're going to have a really hard time understanding it. As spiritual people, we are to refuse the natural inclinations of fallen man. As we yield to the authority of God's word, we verify that we are no longer dominated by the world's spirit of error. All right, that wasn't too hard, right? To keep up with? Here's the hard part. God's word is the only conclusive source of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding concerning ultimate realities waiting to liberate and enrich those who pursue its wealth. I just thought that it was an all-encompassing kind of quote. Remember, we're talking about Logos and Rhema. So as we're studying the Word, God's inspired Word, Holy Spirit, is speaking through these words and speaking to us. The Greeks knew there was power in the spoken word, and this power held all things together, keeping the universe from falling into chaos. But unlike the Jews, they had no idea where this power source came from or what it meant. Sort of like New Agers, just a vibration and a frequency, told cold and impersonal. Well, let's go ahead and turn to John, first chapter, 1 through 18. This is New King James. And you got it up there, so you don't have to turn it to it, but I'm going to turn to it. Now, this is a chunk of scripture that is all-encompassing. If you had to write down the terminology and pick one scripture, theology terminology, and pick one scripture, this would be a pretty good one. In the beginning was the Word. Now, this is a big mouthful. We're going to go quite a ways here, but it makes a point. It's hard for me anytime, especially when I'm teaching, to pick one little scripture and just use that, because it's all about what's before it and after it. And so we have to read a little bit more sometimes than we think we need to. But in the beginning was the Word. And this is, like I said, Jesus being the Word just became bigger to me as I studied this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. John, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. That was interesting, wasn't it? He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become, you guys are allowed to cheer here, gave the right to become children of God.
Yeah.
To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. That's us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom or the heart of the Father, he has declared him. Like I said, there's a lot there. We've got everything in there. We've got a little bit of everything. We've got the triune Godhead. We've got the Trinity. We've got the gospel. We have prophet. We got a lot of Bible stuff in there. I I want to read verse 16 in the Amplified. So those of you who are not familiar with the Amplified, basically the Amplified just takes some of the key words and gives the definition right there so you don't have to go to the Strong's and look it up. And so in the Amplified, verse 16 says, "For out of his fullness, his abundance, we have all received, we are supplied with, one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and gift heaped it upon gift." I just like that. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Do we act like it? And verse 17 says, and I just like this, I brought it up in the Passion Translation, "The anointed one who unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy." I just thought that was cool. You know, the other week we sang that song, "Jesus Be the Center." He is the center. That's what I said. That just came bigger to me this week studying through this. He's the center. He's the center of everything. Center of wisdom, center of history, center of understanding. He's the center. He's the center of the word. He's the center of truth, light, justice, grace, mercy. He's the center. He's the answer. He's our all in all. That's why I threw in that song last minute, "You Are My All in All." Because that's what he is. So let's review, and we're turning the corner here. We're almost there. The word is light, enabling us to see, guiding us, giving wisdom and understanding and revelation, giving spiritual discernment. And 2 Timothy 3:17 says, it thoroughly equips us for every good work. Gang, if we really want to know what's going on in the world and what's going on with ourselves, in ourselves, through ourselves, we best be in the Bible, in the Word.
Amen.
The Word is food, the bread of life. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory." I was going to leave this out, but I felt I needed to put it back in, and because, anyhow, you'll see why. Have you ever known someone who may even be a Bible champion in scripture memorization, but then they're hard to get along with? The word tells us to grow in knowledge and in grace. So I don't like to point fingers and say these things, but it's something that we need to understand in ourselves too, you know, the seeing the speck of dust and with our lumber yard hanging out our eye. But we need to be growing in grace, each of us, not just this person I'm talking about. It's all of us. We need to be not just growing in knowledge, growing in grace. That's more of the rhema. Anyhow, back to this, what I'm supposed to be talking about here. Regeneration, anyhow, growing in grace. Tools. The Word of God is a tool. And this was an interesting scripture I came across this in a Warren Wiersbe book that I just started reading. The Word is a tool for breaking down strongholds and rebuilding the new man. Jeremiah 23:29 says, Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock into fine pieces. And a fire must burn to warm, and a hammer is used in demolition and reconstruction. The precepts, statutes, and testimonies of the Lord are the catalysts for building the church and personal regeneration. Regeneration. So if we're not in the Word daily, as Dave said, pastor said, daily, got to listen to the pastor. If you're not in the Word daily, then it's kind of hard to be hearing what God's saying and growing in grace and all that kind of stuff. The Word of the Lord is a weapon. We know the sword of the Spirit, right? Is living and powerful, piercing. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and powerful, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It even reveals to ourselves what we don't even know about our own heart. And so let's go ahead and read it up here. I had to do the Amplified because I just thought it was really good. For the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. Without the Word, we're not going to be very effective, or if we're going to be effective at all. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. There's a whole teaching about that, but we're not going to go into that right now. Penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. We need that. We got to have that. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word." How are we going to do that if we're not in the Word? So all this to say, now I'm going to preach. This is just information. So what I want to ask you this morning, I want to play the part of a disciplinarian, a stern parent. Are you in the Word every day?
Yes. No.
We must be in the Word every day. And we can find lots of excuses not to be in the Word. But we can find more to be in the Word. There are so many excuses to be in the Word. There's only a handful that not to be in the Word. I'm too busy. Well, maybe you're too busy because you're not in the Word. You're following your own will and ways rather than God's will and ways. You start aligning yourself with His will and ways, you won't be so busy. Amen. And maybe you're not a good reader. Testimony time. Some of you might have heard this before. First grade, Mrs. Sheets made me stand up and read in front of the class. And I took the B can't. And all the kids laughed at me. I hate reading. I hate reading. So along about eighth grade, they did some tests and stuff, and they decided that I, at most, had a third grade reading level in eighth grade. So they started this with this newfangled technology, this overhead projector. They flashed these words up on a screen, and you were and it did it slow so you could keep up, and then it did it faster, and it was supposed to help you. They decided later that's not a good way to read. That was actually more detrimental than helpful, because you should be reading more than one word at a time. But all that to say, that doesn't matter. I still could have been a better reader. It was my own stubbornness, basically, and my disposition against reading that was the problem. And so by the time I was 30, and I wasn't saved until after I was 30, I'd only read a couple books because I didn't read, because I hated reading. I had to go to that class after school with that little overhead projector while my buddies were out playing and having a good time, partying and stuff. I hate reading. So maybe you're a bad reader and you can't read too much, you stumble through it. But I want to tell you right now that the way you become a good reader is read. I got saved and I knew that I needed to read the Bible. I started reading. Now I love reading. I can't not read. And so there are no excuses not to be reading the Bible. None. You may say, well, I'm so busy though. I got kids bugging me. I got jobs. I got all this stuff. You got kids, do devotion, read Bible with them. You got a busy job, you can get up a half an hour early to read the Bible. It's not going to make any difference in your sleep. I mean, you may be in deep, deep REM that half an hour, but I doubt it. You're already starting to come out of the deep REM anyhow. And so your body's getting ready to wake up anyhow, so you can get up a half hour early. David Jeremiah, once a year, he sits down. I mean, he eats and goes to sleep and all this other kind of stuff, but he times himself and he reads through the Bible straight, and it takes him 72 hours. I think he's probably a fast reader, and it might have took some of the rest of us 100 hours if you read just straight. Because if you figure it out, this Bible reading program, if you don't have one, then I prefer this. I can just, I don't have to keep up with, you know, June 24th or November or whatever. I just read it for a half an hour and put this bookmark in there. The next day I can pick it up. There's a lot of Bible things online, so you can do that with your phone and all that kind of thing, and charts and all this kind of thing. I just prefer this. Phones give pop-ups, and then I get distracted by other things, and I got to be plugged in sometimes and all this other kind of stuff. I just like this. It makes it easy. But half an hour a day, and you read through the Bible in a year. Now, you'd think in an hour a day, then you'd read through the Bible twice a year. No. In about 45 minutes a day, you read through the Bible twice. It's funny. I did that. I decided rather than just read the one, I'd just double it up and read two. Well, it didn't take me twice as long. It took less than twice as long. So it was kind of cool. But if we took all the time we spent on Facebook and all the time watching TV and playing games and what are some of the other things we do?
Talking on the phone.
Sleep. No, you gotta sleep. If we took all those little things, we could probably read through the Bible in, yeah, not 2 days, no. It's still going to take you a week or so. Like I said, Jeremiah does it in 72 hours, but I mean, if you figure you watch TV an hour or two a day, you're on Facebook an hour, you know, and you think about it, or you're reading secular books. There's nothing wrong with reading a secular book. But what's more important to you? Or the news? Instead of the bad news, read the good news. Really, that's all I had to say, but I want to do this last thing. I'm going to use my phone for this because it's NIV and I did bring an NIV with me. This is another thing I love. It saved me hours in studying. It's Googling scripture. It's so nice. Let's see, what is the scripture I'm looking at? Something in Isaiah. So how many of you Google scripture? It's so good. Uh-huh. Sort of like, and you know, I don't like open source Wikipedia. Sometimes it's too secularized. But sometimes it amazes me how right on it is. You know, I'll hit, like the other day, I hit the I can't even remember what I said. The Word is God. No, that wasn't it. Anyhow, she just started talking back to me and telling me all about the Word of God, and I was pretty amazed. Anyhow. Okay, what I want you guys to do is I want you to go ahead and close your eyes, and I'm going to read these scriptures. You don't have to close them yet because I got to get the scripture first. Isaiah 55. Halloween came up. Got to go through that sometimes. Isaiah 55, 8.
According to Church of Jesus Christ, 8 for my 8 thoughts Jesus are not Church your thoughts. Christ. Neither are your seaways my ways, saith the Lord.
That's not what I want. I'm going to do this. All right. Yep, exactly. This is Bible Hub. I'm on Bible Hub right now. Gateway or Hub is are two that I use, and they're good, both of them. I like Hub when I'm reading like this because I can navigate it better, but that's all right. That's beside the point. Okay, now you can close your eyes. And I want you to just let these words soak in. The importance of God's Word. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, I mean your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to the without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of a thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. And that's it. That's all I got this morning. Amen. There's 2 minutes over.
I didn't mention that that it was really the reading of the Word, at least I think you mentioned that this morning, the reading the Word that is where you really learned how to be a good reader.
That's how I learned to read.
Yeah. I was thinking as I was sitting back there listening to Bob preach that when Karen and I first came to New Life Fellowship, Bob wasn't yet a believer. And I remember praying for him, and God answered those prayers.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bob.
I had no chance of not becoming a believer because I had 13 Sullivan kids praying for me every night.
But there might not have been that many
long.
Yeah,
maybe there was only 9.
That's true.
6.
Thank you for sharing the Word. Thank you for getting in our business. There's a lot of people and and stuff that is always getting in our business. And some of it makes us, you know, some of it we're not even aware of, and the influence, but some of it just, it irritates. This is a good, a good challenge and a good reminder to just, I'll just, one real quick thing, and I'll just say it this way, I'm in the Word every day, but I heard someone, I think it was Rick Warren, say a challenge about if I'm spending as much time in the Word as I am reading the news. Well, that wasn't even close. I was doing more reading of news or newspaper or whatnot, and just challenged me to like spend a little bit more time, either more time in the Word or less time reading the news, reading the good news, not the... So stand with me, lest I digress and
start preaching.
I still am amazed. I do that a lot. But may God, and I'm gonna, this blessing comes right out of Psalm 119. May God strengthen each of you, your inner being. May He strengthen your inner being by the promises of His Word.
Amen.
So that you may live faithful and unashamed. Faithful and unashamed for God. For you, O Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.